So on to the latest from Europe. Greek Prime Minister George Papandreou's grip on power weakened before a confidence vote later this week, as his decision to call a referendum on a new bailout package provoked a lawmaker rebellion. Top lawmaker Melena Apostolakis saying she will defect from Papandreou's Socialist Party, with the Kurdos newspaper reporting that Eva Kaili will also abandon PAYSAK. Papandreou would control only 151 seats in the 300-seat chamber. On and on the list goes. This really hit the markets today around the world. So what does it mean for the European bailout? Now we bring in a special roundtable with Sasan Gharahmani, President and CEO of SGH Macro Advisor, joining us in studio, and Doug Borthwick, Managing Director of Foreign Exchange Trading at Pharos Trading. Doug, you there?
I'm here, yes.
Great to have you. Sass, you too.
Hi, how
thanks
are you,
for coming
Kathy?
in. And Sass, you're here in studio. Let's start with you. It even surprised the Greek finance minister. Wow.
I don't think Papandreou has a lot of friends out there right now, especially among the EU officials. This was a total spanner in the works by pulling out this referendum. And, you know, really, as I think everybody understands, this is a it's a ploy by him to essentially try to save his own skin so that, you know, so that he's not hung and left out to dry by this deal that he just struck. And, you know, the Greek population is saying we're against everything you're doing with the EU IMF. But at the same time, what people don't understand is 70% of the people in Greece still don't want to leave the Eurozone. So he's kind of calling them on this and saying, look, we're going to tie these things together and put them up to a referendum. The problem is that he's done it in a, as you said, he's done it in a very ham-fisted way at a really bad time. And I think this will cause his government to fall. I don't think we're even going to get a referendum.
Doug?
I agree. His timing was absolutely horrendous, you know, especially given that the market's sort of roiling as well over, you know, MF Global and their exposures in Europe. So you've got a number of cross currents in the market right now. You have liquidation of the MF Global positions going into this, as well as this absolutely terrible timing by Papandreou. I agree 100%. This is a political ploy. It's political theater, if anything. And he will sort of have the populace really have that view of, look, you can't be against the EU and the bailout funds if you still want to be part of the euro. And that 70% number that it was discussed, I mean, it's very true. You know, people in Greece don't want to leave the euro. And this is just a way really for him to get everyone around it and really, you know, take the blame off of his shoulders. So I agree with that 100%.
Well, my impression, I like analogies and metaphors. So I'm thinking of, if you've got a teenage kid who's rebelling and going into junior high school, says, I hate school, I'm not going back. And you say, you must go back and you must go back and fight, fight, fight. Finally say, okay, fine, don't go back to school. Gonna get a job at McDonald's. And the kid thinks it over and says, okay, I hate school, I'll go back. I mean, ham-handed, whatever. He may fail. But did somebody have to do this? Did somebody have to get the Greeks to realize, no matter how angry and how hard and painful this is, that they can't go on fighting it? At some point, maybe they can fight their own leaders, but they have to accept that they have to go through this.
Yeah, Kathleen, I guess so. But the issue is, as Doug said, A, it's the timing. It's like the worst time he could have done this. You've just gone through this whole process, and now you're putting a whole month of uncertainty into the markets. And the bigger problem, I mean, we could even live with the timing. I think the bigger problem for him right now is that, you know, he's telling the kids get in line, but at the same time, there's a few people who've taken the shotgun out and are about ready to shoot him. You know, they've kind of had his own party has had enough of him. And, you know, you mentioned the two defections that you've had. So he's now down to a one seat majority. And so in addition to the referendum, before the referendum, he has a vote of no confidence this Friday. And there are at least six PASOK party members who have said, we want a national unity government. They are openly calling for his ouster. So this has backfired very badly on Papandreou, and his own party is saying, look, we want to put a technocrat in there and let's move on with life. They talk about, you know, central bank heads and so on. But that's, you know, it's not very good for Papandreou.
Now, Doug, one of the reasons I thought it'd be fun to get you on the show today is you have been such an unrepentant Euro bull, okay? And I think you still are a Euro bull. But, you know, if Sass is right and Papandreou's government falls and now there's all this uncertainty, are you still so much of a bull?
Oh, we are a bull. You know, we've been a bull from what, 132, 135, 50. You know, we've been a bull from lower levels, and we understand there's going to be a lot of noise going into this. Now, the market hates uncertainty, and it punishes the euro on the back of uncertainty. Now, is that something that in the grand scheme of things makes sense? In our view, not necessarily. When you look at, you know, euro risk reversals on the downside, they're at almost extreme levels. FTSE puts are almost extreme levels. So once again, we've gone from extreme levels last week, then lots of positions taken out, and everyone's back into this very negative trade again. And in our view, you can be really negative, but it doesn't make a lot of sense to be really negative down on the lows. And that's sort of where we are right now. Our view is that there are tremendous opportunities coming for financing throughout Europe. And certainly if you're negative on Europe, that doesn't mean you should be negative the euro. And, you know, that's certainly borne true for all of the year. And we believe it's going to bear true going on to the rest of the year, in that in Europe, when someone doesn't like Greece, they don't sell, you know, their Greek debt, or they don't sell their take their Greek assets out and put them in the U.S. They just put them in Germany, and that's why the Bund goes so very well bid, and German assets go bid on a comparative basis. So the flows that people are looking for out of Europe, I believe, have already happened. So what are you looking for now?
Sass?
Well, I understand what Doug is saying, certainly, and I think from our perspective, you know, we had a decent rally in the euro up to 141, 142, and we thought that it was positive that they were putting together this comprehensive package and that they were saying, finally, okay, we realize that we need to get to point B, and instead of treading water, now we have a plan to get from point A to point B. So that's kind of some good news that we've had. We've had some market reaction to it, 1,000 points in the stock markets and, you know, 7-8 big figures in the euro. Now it's implementation problems, and, you know, I think I agree with Doug in that. You know, I think some of the sharper fears that people have of, you know, total disintegration, collapse of the eurozone are not going to materialize. In the meantime, however, it's messy. You know, we have a messy process here getting from point A to point B. What just happened in Greece is, you know, case in point. The struggles that IMF is having in putting together this SPV is also, you know, another problem. So I think it'll be resolved. I think in the scheme of things, you know, Europe will be okay. In the meantime, I would suspect we get a little more pressure on the euro, though.
What would have been, I would think, a really kind of, oh boy, lots of upbeat, you know, presidents and prime ministers in Cannes, France, beautiful spot to kind of seal the deal from last week and say, where do we go next? What happens now, Sass? What are these guys going to talk about? What's going on with Greece?
You know, it's kind of ironic that you're, you know, on the Riviera and asking China for money. I mean, just the optics of it is not that great, and you know, that's been a problem for them, is that the big thing that was supposed to happen at this G20 meeting is to get that international support, that unified support for Europe, and they're having a hard time. You know, everybody's sort of willing to help, but they all look at Europe and they say, look, you guys can afford it. Just because Germany and Holland don't want to put more money in doesn't mean you can come running to us and expect us to put more money in. And they're saying, yeah, we're willing to invest, but, you know, if you have something AAA, we'll buy it. Well, this isn't going to be AAA, you know, and so they're having a hard time you know, getting this SPV that they wanted to put together,
special purpose vehicle.
Yeah, and so they really need to look at that again. They're going to work their way around it, and IMF is working on putting together a new and improved flexible credit line that's going to be super rapid, and they can pull it out, and it'll be ready for Italy and so on. But, you know, which is, you know, not bad in the scheme of things. But you know, again, the Cannes meeting is going to be a tough one. You know, they are working towards trying to get towards what they were hoping to deliver. You know, there's no way they can.
But if Greece ain't on board, I don't know how you do it. So, Doug, G20, what do you expect, if anything, to come out of it now?
Well, one thing that going to the China comments. Like, China's said a number of things, but obviously they're not ready to buy something if the details aren't there of what exactly they're buying. And one thing that Europe hasn't done yet is actually, you know, written down the term sheet of what exactly they'd be buying and how it would be backed. And so it makes sense that China would sort of put off for a little while and saying, sure, we'll pay the offer, without knowing what the offer is. Yu Yongding put a great piece together in the FT yesterday. He's a ex-PBOC chap. And really, in the comment there, in one of the paragraphs, I think most people focused on the why should China invest in it. But also he talked about, you know, the terrible investment that was made in the U.S. dollar so far. And that there's always two sides to everything. Yeah, there were two pieces of news today that make us think that QE is a little bit more likely in the U.S. One was that manufacturing is still there, but prices paid came off considerably. Another one would be that the euro is coming off, and we think as the euro comes off, that actually gives more of a move towards QE out of the United States. Moody's also talked today about the United States and said if the super committee doesn't come up with something, well, that wouldn't be positive. And so there's a number of things that are happening in the euro that we think could actually push the euro up, and that are based upon what's happening in the U.S. and not necessarily what's happening in Europe. Now, with the G20, well, we believe that if anything, the shock to the market would be that something good comes out of it. Once again, the market is positioned short and positioned very negative. And if G20 was able to come up with something, then that would be seen as a positive. And you see these moves back up in the euro above the 140 level again, liquidity split. The thing is that there's going to be a lot of volatility. And though it looks like from A to B is a very simple line, there's going to be lots of moves back and forth in between. And it's the moves back and forth in between that the market doesn't like. There's very little position, other than the short positioning, which is really mostly through